Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The Word of God for the people of God.
First of all, it's good to see everyone here. I'm glad that we can actually worship together. A lot of you don't know, but this has traditionally been my Sunday for the last several years. Just people traveling places, other pastors usually, sometimes Kelly and Sarah are running off to Canada and other things. So it's become known as my one-off Sunday. So I think probably for the last 4 years, I've preached this Sunday, the Sunday right after Christmas. But I look forward to it, though, even though it's often one of the smaller attended services because people are traveling, they're doing other stuff, or they decide to stay home because sometimes Christmas fell the day before or after or right on Sunday, and we've had that. But I look forward to it because it's a time to reflect on the year. It's a time to look at any changes we might want to make. It's a time to start looking towards Easter, too. So even though we are continuing our devotion through the Epiphany, I'm not going to explain all of that, and I've shared this here on the Tony's one-off Sunday before, but this is a time where we can start looking towards the cross. You know, I grew up in New Orleans, and down in New Orleans, everyone knows about Mardi Gras. And some people might even know about king cakes. And so the thing is that starting right after the Epiphany, so right after the 12th day of Christmas, starting there in Louisiana, people start celebrating, looking towards Easter. Don't know, they have these king cakes, you have a baby, little baby Jesus in there, whoever gets the Jesus, baby Jesus comes and brings the cake the next week, and just this tradition that goes on that's all about looking towards a celebration, a time of feasting that builds up and builds up all the way to Mardi Gras, which is the day before Ash Wednesday. So we have this whole time building up. And so for me, culturally understanding a little more growing up, I understood some of that a little more, the significance of all that. So for me, this is a time to start looking towards Easter. Right now, right after Christmas, is a time to start doing that. And we are even looking as we're continuing our devotions and looking at taking a time where we had Advent, where was the time where we were taking and fasting, where now we are looking at feasting, moving towards that celebratory thing. Jesus came. He came to this earth to sacrifice his life for us. And why did he do that? Anyone take a guess at that? Why did he do it? To set us free. Hey! Yes! Title of the sermon, Set Free to Stay Free. Why did he do that? And you might go, of course, Jesus can set you free. A lot of people believe that. We say it and we hear it and things. But I just want to relate something that often happens to us. You know, if we think of the best way I can describe it that I think everyone would get is many people, anyone been burdened down by credit card bills, house payments, other stuff, And I don't know if anyone has. I'm not going to ask hands to embarrass people. But anyway, many people file bankruptcy. And the thing is that the purpose for filing bankruptcy is not what some people do. And that's, and actually it's interesting, I guess 13% of the people who are multiple offenders, according to what I found here online, is 13% of people file bankruptcy or multiple, they file again and again as soon as they can. They build up their debt again, leading up to the next time they can file bankruptcy. And that is not what bankruptcy is for. In the same way, our freedom that Christ gives us is not just so that we can go and return back to our old ways. It's so that we can be set free and stay free. And that's just the best analogy I can give you that I think everyone would get, that everyone would get here. So Galatians 5:1, the beginning part of that passage, it tells us that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Not for bondage, not so he can keep setting us free over and over and over again, and we keep plying it. I'm not going to say that that's not there for you, but that's not the reason why he died. He died so you can live a full life, full, fulfilled, happy, joyous life. We talk in Advent season, the hope, our love, joy, hope, peace. Those are the things that Christ wants for you. That's why he came. That is why he came. I want to stop and take a moment here. I prayed already twice today in groups, just simply stating that everything that I just don't have time to cover, every type of freedom you might be able to experience, and maybe every type of bondage you might be able to be in. I don't have time to do that. So I want to just take a moment, and I'm just going to trust that the Holy Spirit would just show you. I just want everyone to think of an area in your life that you need freedom. Maybe an addiction. Maybe you do need financial freedom, true financial freedom. Maybe you need the freedom from fear, the freedom to be loved, or to love, or be loved, the freedom to feel the good and the bad in a safe place, in the loving arms of a father who loves you. Freedom from bad relationships. And again, those are just some things I put out there. But I just probably 10 seconds. I'm going to stop talking and just you think about, just, hey, I have something. I have something I need freedom from. Lord, I just pray for everyone here today, that everyone here, everyone online, I just ask that we would be able to experience freedom. Lord, I pray for those, Lord, I believe there's some you want to set free radically today, Lord, and there's others of us who have a journey to freedom. Both are biblical answers. And Lord, I just pray that both of those would start today. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, amen. Amen. So, we will have a time. I just pray now. If you want to come up here and pray, feel free to. If you need someone to pray, we will find someone to pray with you. Just come and grab one of us. Our altars are always open. And for those of you online, whether that's adding in the comments, you can personal message us. You can call us. We are there. So even if you're online and you've like never met any of us in person, we are still there for you. So you feel free to call in if you need someone to pray with you. So today, I just want to look at some things. Look, first of all, what is it that Jesus has set us free from? Again, I can't list everything, but just take a look at that. And look at the question, why do we go back into bondage? Why? Because I'm sure most of us have experienced that. I mean, we just take diet. So many people get on diet and then fall back, you know, and quit. I can relate to that. And there's other things. Why? Why do we return? And then Just some practical things. What can we do to help maintain the freedom that Christ has given us? So that's what I'm going to look at today. And so first, what have we been set free from? And anyone who's been around me a lot lately, all the staff knows, my prayer group knows, other people know, I've been on an Isaiah 61 kick. In fact, I think two messages ago, maybe a message or two ago, I threw it in there too. Actually, I think the last two messages I threw it in at least a little bit, one a little more than the other. So I've been on Isaiah 61, and really I call it Jesus' mission statement, the mission statement of Jesus. And so I'm just going to look through here just real quick. What are some of the things that he said? These are the things, this is the freedom that Christ did for us. To proclaim good news to the poor. Does that sound like freedom? Yes. To bind the brokenhearted. Does that sound like freedom? To proclaim freedom to the captives. Of course, that sounds like freedom. To release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To comfort all who mourn. Provide for those who grieve. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks. You will be called oaks of righteousness. The planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Amen. That's exciting. This is the freedom. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. I skipped over, just pulled out some key things out of Isaiah 61. But this is the freedom that Christ came and died for. This is the freedom. Now here in Galatians, they're talking specifically about freedom from the law. The passage here in Galatians. So the people had, they saved, they realized the freedom they had in Christ, and they no longer had to follow the law, they realized it, and then they started adding stuff back in, going, oh, well, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do these other things. And I mean, in a way, that can just sound real simple, but I think there's something to it. I think there's something to it, and we'll get into it a little bit here. I want to just put it like this. Is I think often we look at it like college, our freedom, the freedom that we have. So how many can you just go into, even community college, it's easy to get into. Any, you know, how easy is it? Do you just go and sign up and you're in? Well, no, you still have to take a test, even to go to community college. You have to take an assessment test. And then if you don't do the assessment test well enough, then you need to do other remedial classes before you can start doing it. It's not like you just show up. It's not like first grade or kindergarten where you just show up and just go for it. There's something. You have to do something there. Even the community college, which is the easiest to get into, you still, and anyone can get in, but they're going to tell you, oh, guess what? I think that's often how we look at freedom and how we come into Christ. Is we think that we need to do something to get our freedom. There may be work in sustaining your freedom, but there is no work that needs to be done to be worthy of freedom. Do you try to pray enough to be worthy of freedom? Do you ever try and read the Bible enough to be worthy of the blessing of God? Do you try and go to enough church services that maybe if I do that, God will answer my prayer if I just go to enough church services and enough Bible studies? If I do enough good for my neighbor, then maybe God will set me free. That doesn't line up with the gospel. I'm just telling you, Christ has set you free. There is nothing you need to do to be set free, except to ask for it. Now again, like I said, there might be something we need to do once God has set us free. Just like the person who's been filed bankruptcy and approved for it, their debts are gone, they still should not get credit cards probably, and not do other stuff, live within their means. There's things we need to do to maintain that freedom, but Christ is there to set us free. So what did Jesus set us free from? The power of sin and death. Romans 8:2 says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So in my opinion, one of the most powerful examples of the freedom of the power of sin and death is from Genesis. Genesis 3 says, the man and his wife heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, the breeze of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Shame entered into the picture. Shame entered into the picture. And the thing is about shame, shame causes us to run from the presence of God. It shouldn't, but it causes us to run away from God, to just put that distance. And so then we need to fill that with something else. When we run away from God, we're running to something else. It's not just an empty void. We are choosing to go to something else. So are there any of you struggle with shame? We'd love to pray for you. Again, whether it be here, online, or call us on the phone, we would love to pray for you and walk you through that. It's amazing the power that shame has. It's been interesting, while the exact word shame never gets translated, but when you look at what's the root of so much stuff dealing with our bondage, it's related to shame. It's related to shame. And that is why Christ has set us free. We need to have no shame before God. And I could list multitudes of things that Christ has set us free from, but I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to speak to any of you about that. But I do have a few questions. A few questions. Does your everyday life reflect the glorious freedom I've described? Would your friends, your spouse, your children say you've been set free? Are you like the multitude of Christians who feel like they're on a spiritual seesaw? Up and down, up and down. Is your walk with Christ continually up and down, seemingly one spiritual moment and carnal the next? It's good questions to think about, and I want to challenge you so that you can be set free. This is not a thing of condemnation or shame. When you realize that, oh, I am in bondage still, I shouldn't be, then we can move and we can do something about it. So I just want to make that clear. I'm not coming to you to try and make you feel shame. And if that's what you're feeling, I just want to say that's not the point. Because there is freedom in Christ. There is freedom, and that's what I want you to do. But if you don't realize you're in bondage, you can't find the freedom. So those are just some questions to help you realize that, wow, maybe I am in bondage. Maybe I need to do something. So this all leads to the question, if we have been set free, why am I still in bondage? Why am I still in bondage? Hopefully you have some answers that are helpful, but we can see here that the Galatians were reverting back to the law, reverting back to the bondage they were in. Why? That's what they knew. That's what they knew. Galatians 4, 8 through 9 says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Now, the stuff may not correlate to us because they're worshiping potentially little, images, little statues and different other things. So it may not correlate, but they found a certain amount of false peace, a false hope, a false sense of security in those things. And do we do the same thing? So when shame would creep in because of the fact that they were doing something wrong, they would go back to what's comfortable. What's comfortable was to either go back to false gods or go back to even the law that said, if I offer enough sacrifice, if I offer up the right prayers, I'll be forgiven. If I offer up the right animals and this and give the right amount of money, and if I do this thing or that thing, then I will find I'll be forgiven. They were reverting back to the old. That's not the freedom that Christ had for them. But you know what? That felt comfortable. It's what they knew. It gave them a false sense of security. And so I just want to point out that we have many things that we do that with also. So we often go back to the things we know. Drugs are common, you know, we just look at society, drugs are a thing that seem to solve the problem. Some people that might be creating drama. believe it or not, getting upset and being drama. When you get upset, there's brain chemicals. Your body releases brain chemicals to calm you down. So some, just so you know, this might be helpful for you to have more grace for people, because looking into that has helped me have more grace with some people who have those things, is realize that, oh, they're just really, they've gotten so worked up that, boom, they realize that, oh, if I just have a, and in fact, someone I know closely even admits that they feel an argument coming on, and they feel better for weeks after a good argument. Just someone who's very aware of that. So I just want to tell you that even the drama, often our body releases brain chemicals that we get addicted to. It calms us down. Gossip. We see, when we feel bad, we see the flaws in someone else, so we can gossip, and it does something. We numb ourselves with media, TV, Facebook, even stuff that I'll say, you know, sounds great, but reading books, if you're doing it to run away from the freedom that God has for you, it could be anything. Anything and everything. And again, I can't list everything it could be. I'm hoping the Holy Spirit will tell you. But I want to tell you, when I drove truck, something I realized, I have over 2 million miles now of driving a truck for a living. So I've learned a little bit about how deer act when they're crossing the road. So I've hit a few deer. The thing is, they're coming along this way, or that way, but we'll take this way, coming along this way across the road. Now, if they just see you, and they're like, oh, I need to get across the road quicker, they just keep going. But what, and this is something I train people now, and this is something I train all of the new drivers. I tell them that with a deer, if they get startled, they always, always, always turn around and run the other direction. So they're now walking this way in your lane, so you swerve over into this lane, boom, you hit them. They always run back to the direction of safety, the direction they came from when they get afraid and are scared, afraid and scared. The same way we do that same sort of thing. Freedom, honestly, sometimes it's scary. It doesn't feel right. We're not used to it. We lived our whole life in bondage. Sometimes freedom is just unnatural. It doesn't seem natural. It is, but we don't know it, and so we start to get scared, and we just turn around and run away, run back to what we know has worked, or maybe not worked well, but has done something to appease that. But God would say, come. There's no shame. There's no fear. Come. Find your freedom in me. Find your freedom in me. And I think this is just the best example I can give of why I see so many people fall back into bondage. They don't realize the freedom, and it feels so uncomfortable. It's so different. They're not used to it. They're used to a different brain chemical that goes on, and they just want that fix, or they want this, or it's just so different. And I would just challenge you, embrace it. When it starts to feel uncomfortable, but you know you're doing the right thing, going about it the right way, engaging God, go for it. Just keep pushing forward. So I'll just tell you too, if you're, this is just one of those, I think Einstein, there was, I'm not going to do the quote, but similar thing, but if you're still trying the same solutions, maybe it's time to try something else. By the way, just to make you feel better, you're not the first or the last. Even some of the great people, Peter, who denied Christ 3 times, we see later on, Paul has to rebuke Peter because he is now sort of falling back into worrying what people think about him. And so we see that even Peter, the rock of the church, foundation of the church, had to be rebuked on this. So you're not the first. You're not the first. We have the Israelites who had amazing stuff. I mean, again, talked about it here before. It's, again, one of my rants for several years now. They had the fire by night and the cloud by day, and they had the manna being brought to them every day. When they got sick, they looked upon the thing that Moses put together and they were healed. They had amazing stuff going on. But what did they want to do? They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to, because that felt so uncomfortable. It was so different. They had security, even though they were in bondage. They were slaves, but they didn't. That being free and what taking that path to freedom just felt so unusual. They didn't know what to do with it. So, how do we maintain freedom once we find it? How do we maintain freedom? Nuts and bolts. Just have a few practical things. Some of it's just hard work, and that's where I'll sort of start. Psalms 34:14 says, "Turn away from evil and do good. Search peace and work to maintain it." And work to maintain it. Or many of the translations do say pursue. And there is not a good word in the English, a word to really describe, because this is not just, this is about constantly looking for freedom when we look at the Hebrew. It's about not becoming stagnant and chasing the thing. In other words, you're chasing it. In fact, it's to put to flight, almost like if you were to chase an enemy and they were to scatter. It's to follow after, to hunt the pursuer. So work to maintain it, to pursue it. Pursue is just such a weak word, I think, for what's being described there. In Psalm 34, it is something about, it's about digging in and going after it with everything you have. Pursue freedom. This is talking about peace, but pursue freedom. Pursue that freedom with everything you have. It's a gift of God. Pursue it with everything you have. Do everything you can to keep it. Everything. Make it your passion to pursue the freedom that Christ has given you. Do not let anything keep you from getting your freedom. Do not let anyone keep you from getting your freedom. And I'd say, do not let anyone keep you from freedom, even yourself. That's often who keeps us from getting our freedom. Don't let it happen. Get that freedom and keep it and maintain it and chase after it. Galatians 5:1, the second part of it, after it says, "For freedom you've been set free," it says, "Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in the slavery of the law." Make sure that you stay free. Again, God gives us this thing, just sets us free. And what do? Are we doing the things that we need to do? So some practical things in doing that. Just some very practical things. Fellowshipping with other people. So the thing is, every expert, every book I've ever read about self-improvement, all this, every expert would tell you that you become like the people you hang out with. Are you hanging out with people who are experiencing freedom? Are you? Or people who are going on in a journey, I think that's often what works for so many people with some of the recovery groups even, is you're there, you're going through a journey, you have people who have been experiencing freedom for 15, 20 years who are there, and you have other people who are joining with you, you're fellowshipping with people who are experiencing freedom. Are you, and again, if whatever it is that you need help with, look and go, who's doing well? Start hanging out with them. Start fellowshipping with them. Also, I want to say, go back to the basics. Pray, read the Word, attend fellowship gatherings, just those basics. Again, these are not about being worthy of freedom. These are how we maintain freedom once we get it. Pray, read the Word, fellowship. Then I want to say, be on guard. Be on guard. Just like a person out of prison, often inspired by their parole officer or whatever else, but a person just out of prison is often making every choice in their life is based around not going back to prison. I need to have this job. The parole officer says, I need to have this job, otherwise I go back to prison. I need to have a place to live, a stable place to live, otherwise I'm going back to prison. I need to stay off drugs, otherwise I'm going back to prison. We need to be like that. We need to be on guard, just like a person out of prison. They can't hang around the people that are bad, bad influences, otherwise they go back to prison. Proverbs 23 through 27 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines your course, the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Make out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Got me to put this in there was that one little part. Don't get sidetracked. You want freedom. We need to stay on track. We need to stay on track. And last, find your place in freedom. I think often there's some reasons we don't experience freedom is because we are not doing what God has called us to do in other areas. Maybe we're doing everything for freedom, but it's almost like the person who's called to be a missionary, but they just fight it and they run the other direction. And find your place in freedom. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. God has something for you that He prepared beforehand for you to do. I tell you, if you can find that, then you can find fulfillment. You can find something that there's another thing that fills that void of whatever the freedom, of whatever bondage you had. God has a plan and purpose for you. If you have not found out what that is, we would love to sit down and take a thing, and we even have class or a regular in our regular system of classes for membership in that. We have a thing where we try and help you find those things. But Galatians 5:13 through 14 says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another. Again, talking about service, finding your place in the kingdom of God. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I think, hopefully, you've been able to identify some places in your life that you need freedom. Hopefully, God has spoken to you about maybe some of the things you're doing to keep running back into it. You know, why do you do it? And you can address those things. Then we have some of these practical things. As we close, I want you to take communion on your own. Once you've sat down, done your stuff with God, if you could just... I just want you to think about a few things as we do that. So, again, I feel inadequate explaining everything that you could potentially be free from. I know I've said that again and again, but I want to make it clear. But God, I want you to just sit and do time and say, God, what is it? Jesus gave his life, his body and blood, for us to have freedom. Ask God to reveal to you what you might not see. Communion is a serious thing. It's clear in Scripture we are supposed to take a serious account before taking it. And I want you to take that account to say, where am I not getting the freedom I need? What area of my life am I not doing that? And then just say, okay, I also want you to make a commitment before you take it. The things that you're going to do. Fellowship. Are you going to just some of those basic things I brought up? Fellowship. Getting back to the basics. Prayer. Reading the Word. Doing that. Are you on guard to save, to keep it from you going back into bondage? Are you finding your place in freedom? Are you finding your calling? Okay, now I'm just going to, I know normally we go through, I'm just going to go off, take this on my own. I'm going to contemplate the questions I've asked myself. You online, I'd say do the same thing before you take communion. Just take a serious look and just say, what is it? Feel free to come to the altar. Feel to come to the altar. If you need someone to pray with you, just grab one of us. Lord, I just want to pray for that freedom to come. People, let people pray that everyone listening today would just experience the freedom, the path to freedom, the journey they may go on, or even the immediate deliverance right now. However it is, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move in a powerful way. Amen.